number one, the first sermon by faith, not by sight. I want to explain to you a little bit. From now on, I'd like to, possible, I make my sermon a little bit shorter. And I like your participation more. You know, after sermon, we will have ministry time. Like today, after I give the message, I will invite you to read a certain scripture and meditate on the scripture and pray through the scripture. And then you will sense what the Lord tried to speak to you or how the Lord ministered to you. How about that? I invite your participation. Rather just passive, just listen. I want you to participate, engage. Can you do that?
Yes.
We go together. We look like small group, but there's a strength of that. We can participate, engaged. You know, just now the worship song is a heart of worship. No, it's not just worship self, it's the heart we desire to seek the Lord, right? If you don't have the heart, I don't have the heart, we just go through the motion. We're just a worship service. Amen? Right now, we want to encounter God through the word, through my sharing. Amen? But the prerequisite is we need to focus. Okay? So we turn off the cell phone. I mean, in spiritual sense, don't think about the things that you concern so much or bother you. Just forget about. We focus. Focus. Amen? We focus on the Lord. We focus on the Lord. And when you focus on the Lord, you don't see much. That's really mean you need to focus. Just like the fasting, right? We see the hamburger, juicy hamburger. We see all kinds of things. We cannot see the Lord. There's a lot of distraction. So I invite you to join me. It's a journey. It's not just for me to preach here. We go together to learn. How about that? Amen? Like Ricky just now led us to worship together. I like to always say the faith is a journey. It's glad we have many brothers and sisters help each other. But right now, we not just have the horizontal relationship. We need the vertical. We need to hear from the Lord. I pray that the Lord will bless all of you. So today, I will talk about building the kingdom culture a little bit. So what is culture? Culture is the sum of attitude, custom, and belief that distinguish one group or the people from another. Frankly speaking, you know, when I speak at the two service, you know, first the English service, second the Mandarin service, I will go from one culture to another culture every Sunday. It's a cross-culture. And among us in the English group, a lot of you know, Chinese, American, you know, or culturally you're more westernized, or culturally more Chinese. That's already a cross-cultural thing, right? There's a culture there. But today, I will talk about the kingdom culture. I will particularly about the faith and sight. We know the worldly culture says, seeing is believing, right? Where's the money? Where's the car? Where's the house? We want to see something. But in the kingdom culture is believing is seeing. It's very different. Actually, in the kingdom culture, you can see too. But you need to have faith. Amen? So you come to the faith. Like this morning you come here. What do you see? This morning you come to this church, you come to this room. What do you see? Everybody see differently. I say, oh, there's a lot of empty chair, not that many people. I say, that's one perspective you see. I want to ask you, because newlyweds have a different perspective. They just in love. So what did you see this morning you came to this room?
I see God's
faithfulness. Wow. So spiritual. He saw God. He saw the invisible. Amen? I want you guys to respond. Amen?
Amen?
He's so invisible. How many of you need encouragement this morning? I need it. You know, God has a sense of humor. But today's topic is by faith, not by sight. So early in the morning, I got a text. Certain church member's mother fell this morning. Sent to the emergency. The person needs to serve. Different service. Different kind of serving in the second service cannot be replaced. You know, This is not a theory. It's by faith, not by sight. So what do you see? You come every Sunday. I encourage you, when every Sunday you come, before you come, you bless this worship. You pray for yourself. Say, Lord, I want to see you. I not just see how many people are there, who is here, who is not here. We want to see you. I really mean it. You can see him. It's by faith. It's different kind of vision. Faith is another kind of vision. The sight. So you wonder, what is faith? My first point, faith is God. Faith in God is a key ingredient in the kingdom culture. Hebrews 11:1 say, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. It seems like not really a definition. It's a description. You still don't know what is faith. It's just a faith is the confidence, is the assurance about the things you haven't seen yet, haven't fulfilled yet. There's something there. So I want to ask you, what does our faith in God base upon? So you already give an answer. Our faith is based upon God and his promises. Amen? Our faith based upon who God is. So what kind of God we have? Is he faithful? He's love, right? I believe the reason this community helped Rogelio and Cindy that about the wedding, about everything, because this God. Amen? Because this God's attribute of this guy is all right. The attribute of God manifests through our community to help you. And they will rejoice. And then when you come back here, you see God's faithfulness. Amen? That shows our brothers have faith. You see, God is faithful in his life. God is faithful here. Amen? I just wonder, when you guys help Rogelio and Cindy, forgive me to use that as an example, this is relevant. When you were helping them, you are doing all this, what did you see our God? What did you see about our God? Or what did you sense in the spirit? Dan is kind of smiling. So what did you sense? Amen. We cannot see love, what kind of shape, but we can see love manifest to the people. Same thing is here. Faith is assurance, is certainty about something because who God is, because his promises, right? This morning I have to encourage that church member, the co-worker, whose mother fell suddenly, 80 years old. Situation more clear right now, is no major. When I say something to her and she need to respond, by have faith in God because she had to serve later and etc. Right? When something bad happened to us, how do we react? Shows our faith. And in the book of Hebrew, he really doesn't give us the definition of faith, rather give a description of faith. Then he give the example. He give a list of the hero of faith. Do you know who is the first hero in this list? Actually, it's you and me. He said, by faith we know this world was created by God. When God created this universe, nobody was there. Amen? Scientifically, when God created the universe, nobody was there. But how do you know this world was created by God? By faith in his words. Record in the book of Genesis. Amen? So the first hero is you and me, dear brothers and sisters. You are here today because of your faith in God. You believe in him. You believe you come here, you meet him. You believe he's working in your life. Amen? It doesn't mean when God is in our life, everything is smoothly. I want you to engage, interact with me, like African-American church. Whatever you say, they say amen, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, thank you. You are very encouraging. Then he gave the list about Abel, Enoch, Noah. Then come to Abraham. Abraham is a man of faith. There are two things about Abraham stand out. Really try to illustrate what is faith. In his middle age, maybe 70-something, the Lord called him out of his hometown, Ur of Chaldean. In today's southern Iraq, the Lord called him to leave his hometown and to go to some place he even doesn't know. And Abraham did that. That shows Abraham interact with God very intimately. He really heard from him, right? So it's very important we really hear from the Lord. Rather, it's our fantasy. It's rather we project our desire into God's will. As a pastor, I start doing the youth and college ministry. You know, you always encounter the situation that someone comes to you, I feel God's will for me to marry this woman. It's like God's will for me to marry this guy. You know, I really feel strongly, Pastor. I say, well, it's very easy to find out. Then we have to ask another party. Let's also feel strongly or not. You know, sometimes people tell you, oh, I hear from the Lord. You know, I really strongly feel. Dear brother and sister, we need confirmation, right? Bible says two or three witnesses. We cannot project ourselves into the Lord. But when you walk closely with the Lord, intimately with the Lord, He will impress on your heart. People ask me, when God speaks, does He speak Shanghainese or Mandarin or English or Spanish? I say, God speaks any language. Maybe He doesn't speak language. He gives you that impression, right? Did you guys have that experience about something very clearly you know from the Lord? He impressed on your heart, not only one time. He will continue to tell you. People say, well, you know, in my walk with the Lord, you know, the Lord want me to learn certain message. Wherever I turn, I heard about that. I heard on the radio. I watched the TV. People email me. Continue. So Abraham heard the Lord told him that, and he obeyed. Then after he arrived, finally he went to Palestine. The Lord gave him another promise. He said, I'll give you a son. Abraham loved the Lord, but he had a problem. He didn't have a child. Very difficult. The Bible says he believed, but his wife didn't, so his wife tried to help God. She didn't help too much. We have a lot of mess today in the Middle East because, in certain ways, Sarah. But Bible continues to say, Abraham believed. So how old was Abraham when he got a son finally? 100. Perfect number, huh? And he believed. So actually in the Hebrew chapter 11 verse 6 reads, and that without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So clearly faith is a key ingredient in the kingdom culture. If you haven't heard anything, I want you to hear this. This is very important. Faith is assurance, a certainty about something God speaks to you and you believe that will happen. Then you say, if we know faith is crucial to the kingdom of culture, but how do we cultivate and grow our faith in God in real life? I like to go through a case study, Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 to 21. How about we read together about scenario. It's kind of relevant to our life. Let's read together. Okay. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He is Caesar's. I brought him to you, a disciple, but they could not heal him. Stay with you. How long shall I put out with you? Bring the boy here. Then the disciple came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive out?" He replied, "As a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Oh, sorry. No, verse 22. It's verse 21. But I know there's no verse 21 there. Yes, but I will fill in. So we see, I want to go through the story very quickly to learn about how we can grow our faith. The context of this story was before Jesus came down, before Jesus went to see the crowd, before he saw this man kneel down before him, ask for help, Jesus brought his inner circle, James, Peter, James, John. They went to a high mountain. There was transfiguration there. Jesus suddenly changed in his glorious form. He appeared to his inner circle, the three of them. And also Elijah and Moses was there. So it was a mountaintop experience. Peter said, "This place is so good. Maybe we should make three rooms for three of you. We can be here forever." That was a mountaintop experience. That was a glorious moment in life. And right after that, they came down. And they encountered a challenge in life. It's very hard to say about life, right? So how are you today? Fine. Right now it's very good. But you don't know what's the next moment. And the Peter, John, James, they said, "Wow. Our master is so glorious. He's the king, the Lord." They heard a voice from heaven say, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. He's the Messiah." And then he came down. Then we see the scenario. What was the scenario? Can you help me? What happened there? There was a man came to Jesus. He kneeled down before Jesus. When was the last time you kneeled down before Jesus when you pray? I encourage you, pray sometime by yourself. You kneel down before the Lord. Because our posture really helps us. Amen? We usually don't kneel down. Nowadays, nobody kneels down. In the ancient time, they kneeled down before the king. This person came to Jesus. He was desperate. He had an urgent need. What was his need? Can someone help me? What's the problem? The son has. So what happened? Whenever Caesar come, he fell. Whether in the water, fire. That's a level one of the crisis. The level two is, I brought to your disciple, and they can do nothing. Does that sound familiar to us? We all face challenge and difficulty in life, right? We all have a important prayer request, right? We all have. Then we brought to the Lord. We pray and doesn't help. Then ask Pastor Joseph pray, still doesn't work because Pastor Joseph has very little faith. No, I just try to contemporize. That's what is exact situation. And this guy was very desperate. "Where have you been, Jesus? I miss you all this time." And Jesus said, "I went to the mountaintop. I showed my glory to my disciples." Isn't that true with us? We all struggle with something. We want the Lord to solve the problem for us. Maybe financial, maybe physical, maybe anything. But it seems like the situation doesn't improve. Jesus answered, "You unbelieving and perverse generation. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. So may I ask you, what did Jesus try to tell them? The person say, "Would you please heal my son?" But Jesus started to say, "Oh, this is a generation of unbelief, perverse. How long shall I endure with you?" How does that relate to the situation? Why did Jesus say that? Does that generation, is our generation similar to that today? The reason Jesus said that, Jesus tried to show them the grand picture, people in general, they don't have faith in healing. They are perverse generation. They rebel. They don't believe in God. That's a general atmosphere. But Jesus was there. Jesus' spirit was very different from the generation spirit, the spirit of the surrounding. Dear brother and sister, we need to grow our faith. First of all, we need to see the grand picture. We are surrounded by the people who don't believe in God. They don't believe in miracle, right? That kills you. Affect impact upon you. We surround by that. There's an atmosphere here. Today we worship here when Ricky or Irene, when they lead us, we need to open up. We need to start to tell the Lord, I believe. Amen? You believe, then the spirit of the faith increase here, increase here. You feel being encouraged. You start to hear from the Lord rather than the voice from the world. Jesus had a total different spirit. He believed in Father's work. He participated in Father's work. So he commanded the demon come out immediately. It's not 10 minutes, not 1 hour. He said right away. Amen? Disciple was very confused. So the Bible say in the private session, they say, sir, why you just say one word, the demon go out? But when we say so many words, we probably try to cast out for 1 hour, hour after hour, nothing happened. We probably wonder that too. Jesus told them, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and you will move. Nothing will be impossible. In essence, the reason disciples cannot drive out the demon because they have so little faith. When I checked original text there, it's not low head of not so little faith. Actually mean they have no faith. They have no faith. But you know, you read the Bible before this, Jesus already commissioned them to send them out to preach the gospel, to cast out the demons. So Jesus already gave them the authority, but they have no faith. So it's very clear by now. Surrounding the people in general, then no faith in this healing stuff. Moreover, disciples themselves have no faith or very little faith. They don't believe in miracle. They don't believe that. They do it because they were told to do it. Can we relate to that? For spiritual law, God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. He won't give you abundant life. Do we really believe that? I'm not trying to accuse, okay? We're just so searching. Because I hope through this sermon, through this dialogue, through interaction, your faith level start to arise. Praise the Lord. Jesus didn't just tell them your little faith. Jesus also gave them instruction. It's very encouraging. Jesus instructs disciples and us today, away, depart from the spirit of unbelief. Jesus said, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. I thank you. I saw that mustard seed, you know, online. So very small. So small. But the mustard seed has life in it. I tell you about mustard seed, two traits. One's a tiny, very small. Another place, Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said, kingdom of God like mustard seed, very small initially, but it will grow, become a big tree in the garden. The largest tree in the garden is the mustard seed. It's the mustard. all the birds come. Are you encouraged by that? Jesus said, you just need a little faith like mustard seed. You even can do the impossible, move the mountain.
Hallelujah.
I think that's coming. Gradually people will say, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
That's called mustard seed. Start, right? It will grow. Don't despise the small beginning. Dear brother, sister, we need to pray for mustard seed amount of faith today. Then you can do impossible. Amen? It's okay. You say, Pastor, I still have the unbelief. It's fine. Abraham wasn't a man of faith, right? Right from the beginning, he struggled too. Before he departed his hometown, I think he struggled. Should I do this? How can I do that? My parents here, my uncles here, all my real estate investments here, you know, how can I depart? You know, he struggled too. But he obeyed, he stepped out. I think the first step is very important. Say, what are the lessons we can learn from here? Lesson number one. I like the outline to come out now. Knowing Jesus is the author and perfecter of faith. This is very important. Jesus is the starting point of our faith. Amen? Because we believe in his redemptive work so we can become children of God. That's the starting point. Also, Jesus, the one, will perfect your faith. Why we have spirit unbelief? Because we look at the circumstance, the situation, look at ourselves, right? So that's the number two. The lesson number two is faith and unbelief both come by what you are hearing or giving your attention to, right? Amen? I hear the bad news. I hear there's a robbery in this area. I become very fearful. I hear the good news, right? So may I ask all of you, this morning before you came to this worship, what did you hear? Can someone share with me? I want to see how that impact you. What have you heard? Okay, Chelsea, what did you hear? Is it good news or bad news or neutral? Wonderful. So that's encouraging, right? Whether you have a faith or spirit of unbelief depends what you hear, depends what you pay attention to, right? What do you look at all the time? The Bible say the faith come from what do you hear the word of? What do you hear from the Lord? I want to encourage all of us, we need to constantly to hear from the Lord by reading his words, the good news. The good news for today. We have so many bad news or neutral or negative news or tempting news, all kind, right? You hear a lot of voice today. You need to hear the voice from the Lord through his word. Nothing mysterious. Very practical. You are children of God. You're wonderfully made in the image of God. You're precious. Angela, you're precious. Scott, you're precious. God love you. Chelsea, God love you. God will lead your future. You know, Albert and Francis, God love your kids. God care for the difficulty, the challenge. God really care. The thing is, we need to know that and experience that, right? Psalm 139, you need to experience that. Lesson number three, you must deal with any area of unbelief by increasing your time with God in prayer. That's where the prayer comes in. That's where fasting comes in. Dear brother and sister, if there's a certain area you really struggle, maybe you can fast for one day. Just one day. You struggle with something. The pastor says, this is an area I can never have breakthrough. You can fast for one meal, two meals, just one meal. Or 1 week. We need to deal with that area of unbelief to replace with God's promise. Final lesson, germinate our faith with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I already say that. Germinate means to come and bring into existence. we want to have a faith like mustard seed, we need to start somewhere. Okay? Right now, how about let's practice? I try my best to cut short. Still not that short. Psalm 23rd. If you already memorized, that's fine. Can we all do this together, including myself? We read Psalm 23rd 5 times. We don't read loud. You read yourself. Read 5 times. And then you pick one verse you feel really touch you today, and you pray to the Lord with that verse. And I will ask some people to share, what do you hear from the Lord? That's how you start to build your faith. Okay? Can we put on the... Let's read one time all together first. Then you can meditate on Psalm 23. We read loud, clear, and with conviction. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness, love, I just wonder, can you turn to the verse 1 and 2? How about we meditate on this? You know, if you have a Bible, you have a cell phone, you can look at those verses. Read 5 times. 诗篇23篇念5遍. 选一节对你最有帮助的，用那节来祷告. Okay, we spend some time. meditate. Anyone like to share? Maybe one, two person share. You feel which scripture really speak to you this morning in light of your current life situation? Which verse and you can share? Or when you pray, what did you sense from the Lord? We have very limited time, but that's fine. Anyone like to share? Which verse really stand out today to you in light of your current situation? Yes, Chelsea, which verse? And wonderful. Yes, Cindy. Which verse are you? If you feel, you know, the time is so short for today, I encourage you, maybe next hour, you have some time, while your heart is still hot, you meditate on these words. You pray to the Lord in a very personal way. The Lord, you are my shepherd. I lack nothing. But now I lack peace. I lack this. I lack that. You start to dialogue with Him. You know, the Holy Spirit come. And that's how grow our faith. Amen? A sermon will not grow your faith. A sermon give you some challenge, encouragement, then we take it, we mingle, we exercise, we struggle. The point is not by sight. Even master see faith, even the congregation might be small, when we all have faith in the Lord, we start to obey Him, humble ourselves, yield ourselves, we'll start to grow. Amen? Do you believe that? That's what Jesus said. He's the King of Kings, the Lord. He will back up whatever He say, right? We can say whatever. The thing may not come true. Amen? We pray. We ask the Lord. Jesus is the starting point. Your child of God, you receive Him as Savior and the Lord. God already give you some basic faith. You need to build on that, grow that by meditating on the Word, filled with the Spirit, and exercise the step of faith. Some of you, I encourage you to start to fasting one meal a day. Just one. Save that time to seek the Lord. See how different for 21 days. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today. We receive all the teaching and encouragement. May You grant us faith, size like a mustard seed, even now. With the Psalm 23rd, may You speak to us. May You attract us. May You help us to fall in love with You, not just with Your blessing, not just resolve a problem. Let's come to the first, is You. Help us to see You, to hear from You, through your word, through the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Not by sight, by faith in Him. Okay? Don't be discouraged by what you see.